Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 8, and I'll be reading the first 13 verses, and this morning we will focus specifically on the first two, but there will be references to the rest of the chapter. And so this morning we're going to read verses 1 through 13, the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 8, though the next couple sermons will also come from Revelation 8. Keep in mind as well that there is an outline of the sermon in your bulletin, which will help you follow along as God's word is proclaimed this morning. But let us begin with the scripture reading as we find it in Revelation chapter 8, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea burned into blood, turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." Thus the reading of God's word as we find it this morning in Revelation chapter 8. It seems almost every day someone comes up to me concerned about the moral decline that we see in our culture and our nation. Many Christians have said to me, "I can't believe that it seems to be happening so fast." Whether it be the death with dignity law that recently passed in our state, the same-sex marriages that are being approved in various states throughout the country, or even the terrible economic decisions that have been made, sometimes reflecting the greed of many, putting our nation in a difficult economic crisis. Many Christians find themselves discouraged. And as a pastor, I am often asked the question, what does God think of all this? Is God silent? It doesn't seem like God is doing anything. He allows all of these things to take place, and we hear little from Him. We pray and pray, but the process continues on. Sometimes as Christians, we become active. We seek to bring about change through our own means. But even then, many Christians say, it seems as if we are fighting a losing battle. Has God gone silent? In 1972, Francis Schaeffer, a Reformed scholar, published a book entitled, "He is There and He is Not Silent." Schaeffer's book title reflects the point of his book, that God is there and God is not silent. Yet to many today, it seems that perhaps Schaeffer did not get the title right. Is God really there? Is God speaking to us and to the world today? Or is he silent? Our text this morning to indicate that God is silent. We read in verse 1 that there is silence in heaven. But to understand the silence in heaven, we must first remind ourselves the context of our passage. You remember that we have just completed the second vision of the book of Revelation. On your outlines this morning, I have again laid out for you the structure of the book of Revelation. And we find ourselves this morning at the beginning of the third vision. And we must again remind ourselves of the progressive parallelism that takes place in the book. We are on the third vision, and the visions in Revelation are not given to us in chronological order, as if the first vision happens, and then next the second vision will take place, and then third the third vision will take place, and this is the process of the events that take place on the earth. Instead, each vision reveals to us the events of the exact same time period. The first vision describes for us the events between Christ's first coming and until he comes again. The second vision, beginning at verse chapter 4, going through the end of verse 7, or chapter 7, is the vision of the seven seals. And again, it reveals what is taking place between Christ's first coming and until his second coming. And now this morning, as we find ourselves at the beginning of the third vision, the vision of the seven trumpets, this is the same time period as the previous two visions. This is what will take place between Christ's first coming and until he returns again. But not only are these visions given to us in parallel form in terms of time period, but these visions are also progressive. We call it recapitulation. In other words, the message is recapitulated in each vision. Same message. Only there is progress in that message. It means that as the visions are given in the book of Revelation, the visions and the message of those visions intensify. They intensify. They become more alarming. They become more disturbing. The messages of each vision progress along and become more horrific in the message that God has for his people. In other words, the message this morning at the beginning of this third vision is a message that is saying this to you. If you think that the warnings in the first vision to the letters throughout the letters of the seven churches was intense, if you think, as you have been listening to this sermon series, that the events of the opening of the seven seals in the second vision was disturbing about God's plan for this world and for the future, wait until you hear the blast of the seven trumpets in this third vision in chapters 8 through 11 of Revelation, God's Word. This is what the book of Revelation is saying to us. And you notice this morning that this third vision begins with a connection to the previous vision. It starts with the mentioning of the opening of the seventh seal. Now, this has confused some. Some have said, well, in the sixth seal, we have what is being described as the end of the world, judgment day, the judgment day of God that is yet to come. And so you would expect then that as the seventh seal is open, we would then find something that takes place after the judgment day, or something worse than the wrath of God which falls upon the earth. But we must keep in mind that consistent with the way we interpret the book of Revelation as a whole, as this vision concerning the seals and the opening of the seals is given, it is not necessarily in exact chronological order, though there is a connection. We said previously that in chapter 6, as the seals were opened, the first five seals are opened during the time between Christ's first coming and his second coming, with the sixth seal yet to be opened when our Lord returns and God's judgment comes upon the earth. Now, as we begin this third vision, we're reminded that again in the third vision, the time period being described is the time between Christ's first coming and second coming, but the author is connecting you to what has been said. When the seventh seal is opened, it's not as if there is no message, as some commentators have said. When the seventh seal is open, it is connecting you with both the fifth and the sixth seal of the previous vision. In the fifth seal, the persecution of the church is taking place, and there is a crying out to God for his deliverance and for his justice to take place upon those who are unbelievers and who have harmed and persecuted the church. In next week's sermon, we'll describe how that fifth seal connects with verses 3 through 5 of our text. But in the sixth seal, we have the judgment and the final wrath of God taking place. And as this chapter, Revelation chapter 8, goes on, and as you go through verses 6 through 13, the warning signs are being given for the final trumpet blast, which is yet to take place on the opening of the sixth seal, when God's wrath will finally be revealed. But this morning in our chapter, warning signs are being given, warning blasts to warn the world, to warn unbelievers about God's coming wrath and judgment. They are being sounded. They are being heard throughout the world. And the book of Revelation, God's word, is drawing us in. Now, the first thing we are told in verse 1 is that there is silence in heaven. The seventh seal is opened, verse 1, we're told, and then we're told that there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. What does that mean? In our introduction this morning, we described the silence of God, that some believers today believe that God is silent. We see all this moral decline taking place in the world around us, and we say, where is God? How come he is not acting? Why does God seem to be so silent in times like this? And Revelation 8 verse 1 tells us that God is silent. Silent in heaven. What does that mean? The silence being described in Revelation 8 verse 1 is the silence of God's acts of salvation. The silence of God's revelation that has been revealed in his word. God is no longer delivering Christians from slavery as he did in the Old Testament when he delivered them from Egypt. God is not, in the midst of a moral decaying culture, going to lead Christians through a Red Sea where the waters are going to part and lead them out of the moral declining culture into a new place where they can be. You're not going to see it. As times get tough, God is not going to send down manna from heaven where you're going to wake up in the morning and the Christians are going to have manna on their yards and the non-Christians aren't. If the world suffers from a lack of water, water is not going to come from a rock and give you all that you need so that you can live upon the earth. The silence in Revelation 8 verse 1 is the silence of God's salvation acts upon the earth. Why have they been silenced? Because God has spoken the final salvation act. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His Son died on the cross and paid for the sins of His people, and He rose again from the dead. And there is nothing more to be revealed. There is no more acting that must take place from the hand of God from heaven to save His people. Christ has accomplished it all. All those actions of God in the Old Testament were pointing to, were shadows of what God would do in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, all of those acts were fulfilled. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, God's people were given all that they need. They are fed by His Word. They are watered by His grace. They will neither hunger nor thirst because their souls have been fulfilled and satisfied. Their Passover lamb has been slain on the cross. He has died on the cross and He has come out of the depths of the darkness of the sea and has resurrected and risen to everlasting life. And there is no more salvation to be accomplished. Hebrews 1 verse 1 tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses. He spoke to them directly as we see in the Scriptures. And He spoke to His people through His prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken by His Son. His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, has accomplished all there is to be accomplished. His Son, Jesus Christ, is the final revelation of God. And the apostles and disciples who witnessed Him and saw everything He did were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write them down in the words of the New Testament, which we have in our Bibles, which is God's final words of revelation that He speaks to His church from Christ's first coming until He comes again. And God speaks when His word is proclaimed. God speaks when this word, which He has given, is proclaimed on the Lord's day in His church. And God is speaking to His people through His servants. But you notice that it speaks of a silence for a half an hour. Not an hour. We find throughout the book of Revelation, God speaks of an hour, the hour of His wrath. When Jesus spoke of the final days, He said, "No one knows the day or the hour." But Revelation 8 verse 1 speaks of silence for a half an hour. It's like the interruption of a completed event. It's like, well, there's something coming. The final hour is coming, but there is going to be a silent period. A silent period, meaning that God's salvation has been accomplished. that in Jesus Christ, he has accomplished everything that is necessary for the salvation of his people, and now the only thing that yet remains is the preaching and teaching and the proclamation of the world, of the Word of God to an unbelieving world. And now in this half an hour, this interrupted final time period, this time in which we await the final hour of God's wrath and judgment, which is yet to come, there is silence in heaven, and the Word of God is proclaimed on the earth through the servants that he sends his people to hear that word as God proclaims it through the power of his Word and Spirit. And the only action of God that is yet to take place in terms of salvation as he did in the Old Testament is the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ, when believers will be taken with him into the eternal realm. Those who have died, those who yet remain, will rise up and be with him. And the wrath of God, the effects of the sixth seal, will come down upon an unbelieving world, and they will suffer his wrath and his judgment. But now, as we go on in our text, you notice that before he describes for us, next week's sermon, verses 3 through 5 of the prayers of the saints and how it connects with the preaching of the word, next sermon, he first speaks in verse 2 of seeing seven angels. Seven angels who stand before God, and we're told that to them were given seven trumpets. Seven angels, seven trumpets. In the Old Testament, whenever we see the trumpet mentioned in terms of the revelation of God, the trumpet is always connected with the holiness of God and being in the presence of God and the wrath of God upon unholiness. In the Ten Commandments, as God appeared to his people at Mount Sinai, as God was making a covenant with his people, the people were gathered before the mountain and they heard, according to Exodus chapter 19, the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet indicating that they were entering into the presence of a holy God. The sound of the trumpet indicating that God's people were sinners and they cannot stand before a holy God unless they have their sins washed away. We also see the trumpet in a number of other places. But one particular place we see the trumpet and hear of the trumpet is in the story of the Israelites marching around the city of Jericho. Go with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. In the story of the Israelites coming into the promised land, the first city that they come to is the city of Jericho. Jericho is the largest city, the border city in the Canaanite land. Its walls are enormous because the Canaanites knew that Jericho was the foothold which stood against all enemy invaders into the land of Canaan. If Jericho falls, the whole region is vulnerable, for the enemy will come up through the valley from the city of Jericho. And so the Israelites go to Jericho, and we are told that God specifically commands them what they must do. They don't come with their weapons and their well-trained army. Instead, God instructs Joshua, and he tells the people in Joshua 6 verse 6 this: "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord,'" that's God's presence, that's God's holiness, And in front of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, have seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And each and every day, for six consecutive days, the people went and marched around the city of Jericho, and the seven priests marched in front of the presence of God and all his holiness, the throne of God in the tabernacle, and they blew their trumpets until the seventh day. You see, as they marched around the city, the citizens of Jericho, who lived in all their ungodliness, saw the army, saw the people of Israel marching around their city, and they heard the blast of the trumpet of God, marching before his presence in the tabernacle. But nothing happened. Six consecutive days of warning. Six consecutive days where the citizens of Jericho could have left behind their city and left behind their ungodliness and put their faith in the God of the Israelites and joined the Israelites as they marched around the city. And even hearing the trumpet, it had no effect. And so finally, on the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times. And each time after marching around the city, they blasted the trumpet, but still no one leaves behind the city of Jericho but Rahab. And finally, the final blast of the trumpet of God is heard, and the judgment of God falls upon the city, and the walls collapse. And the Israelites are commanded by Joshua to destroy the city and all the animals and everyone in it. The trumpet blast that we see in the Old Testament is a trumpet blast that sounds the alarm. It represents the judgment of God that is yet to come. It is a blast which announces to the people who hear it a warning that God's wrath is coming, that God's wrath is present, that they better pay attention, that they better put their faith in the living and the true God and in his salvation. But no one heeds it. And the walls collapse, and the city is destroyed, and everyone in it. In Revelation chapter 8, drop down with me to verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel, verse 7, sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. A second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Notice the destruction is not complete. It is only a portion of the creation, a portion of the world, which is being destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky, and a third of the rivers on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and a third of the night. If you look at the details concerning these trumpet blasts, you will notice that each one is describing something which could only be an act of God. In a later sermon, we will look in more detail at what these mean and connect them with the Old Testament. But for now, Notice that each one is describing something which is not an act of man, but only an act of God. God could only bring about these events. And these events which take place upon the earth, these events which take place in God's creation, are events which are sounding the alarm, which are sounding the trumpet, where the angels of God are sounding His warning to the unbelieving world for what they have done to the church and to the believers and His body, Jesus Christ. You see, God is speaking today in the realm of nature. God is sounding the trumpet, and you hear it almost every day. In 1972, Francis Schaeffer titled his book, "He Is Not There, He Is Not Silent, and He Is Correct." Because even in discouraging times for Christians, God is not silent. He is speaking through His Word. You are hearing it today. You are hearing it right now. But God also speaks to an unbelieving world, just as He spoke to the citizens of Jericho, just as He spoke to the citizens of Egypt. In December 2005, a tsunami took place. A large earthquake and an enormous wave hit shore. 226,000 people died. Last year, in the summer of 2008, right before the beginning of the Olympics, when the Chinese government was ready through the Olympics to show the world their powerful government, their powerful ways, their powerful economic system, an earthquake hit the country. 87,000 people died. Only God could do that. Man could not stop it. In the fall of 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit off the Gulf Coast. No one could stop it. They knew it was coming. It came. It hit. 1,800 people died. Last year in the Midwest, my home state, people who lived in a 100-year floodplain suffered their 100-year flood, and people died. Every morning you wake up, especially this time of the year, and you see the report on the news of a tornado or a bad thunderstorm that comes through a section of the Middle Plains and destroys homes and a city, and people die. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul tells us that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God, the sounding of the trumpet, God's power is being revealed in these trumpets that are sounding from heaven, through these acts of nature, which no man can control, which no man can stop. They are not the works of Mother Nature. This is God's power. This is God's wrath. This is God demonstrating to the world that He is in charge. This is God saying to the unbeliever, verse 19, Romans chapter 1, what is known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You see, God is speaking. God is speaking to the world. God is speaking to the unbelieving world. What is true about God, that He has created the world, is made plain, and the trumpets are sounding. But the unbeliever, Romans 1 verse 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. They worshiped the creation itself. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is to be forever praised. God is speaking from heaven. God is sounding the trumpet. When the 10 plagues came upon the Egyptians, each one had to do with something of nature. Oh, they tried to copy it. They tried to make the water turn to blood with their magicians and magic. But ultimately, as the plagues continued, they had to acknowledge that only the true God could accomplish such things. As the plague of darkness hit, as the plague of hail hit, as the locusts came throughout the land and destroyed every green thing, Pharaoh and the Egyptians had to acknowledge the true God, the Creator. But instead of listening to His servant, instead of trusting in a Passover lamb and God's deliverance, they asked them to leave, and they suffered under the wrath of God, His angel of death. The plagues were sounds of warning. Just like the unbeliever today sees and hears the trumpet blast of warning. When a tsunami hits, only an act of God could create a wave that big. When there is an earthquake, a hurricane, a tornado, only God has that much power, not Mother Nature. It's God's warning. It's a taste of His coming wrath. It is the sound of the trumpet warning the unbeliever to believe in the blood of His Passover lamb who came and who died on the cross. And in a declining culture, you need not worry that God is not speaking. He speaks around the world almost every day. And His word is proclaimed, describing what God is saying and what God has done, and His answer, which is salvation through His Son. And so the question is not whether God is speaking. The question is whether the trumpet is being heard. And the question you are asked is, are you listening? God has been sounding the trumpet since Christ came the first time and he will continue to sound it through all his works, through all the lives lost, through all what the world describes as natural disasters, until he comes again. When you see the power of God demonstrated on the earth, do you heed his warning? Are you ready for the blast of the last trumpet? Remember verse 13 of our text, the last verse of this chapter. Remember what is called out after the first four angels blow their trumpets. I watched, and I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Does an earthquake scare you? A tsunami? A tornado? It is only a taste of the wrath of God. Because someday the warning trumpets will fall silent. All that will be left is the sound of the last trumpet, and the eagle has warned, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." And if you're afraid of the power of a natural disaster, think of the fear you must have of falling into the hands of a holy and awesome God, and his wrath with all of its fullness coming on you. Are you ready? Are you listening? May you heed God's voice in his word and through his trumpet blasts, and put all your faith and hope in his final salvation act, Jesus Christ, his Son, and his death and resurrection. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the book of Revelation and how it sums up the scripture for us. For as we see your works in the Old Testament, we see your works even greater today. Father, we thank you for the final act of salvation which has been accomplished in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you continue to speak to us in your word. We thank you for the blasts of the trumpets, which each and every day remind us that we are not in control of this world or even our lives, but everything is in your hands. Father, enable us to heed the warning and the sounds of your coming wrath. May we put all our faith and hope and trust in you and the salvation which has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. May we long to worship you and be with you even now. May we long to be with you in your fullness in heaven forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.